What a joy it is to be here. I would like to thank Johnny very especially for inviting us along this evening to give a word of testimony. It is a great privilege to be, of course, in the birthplace of Free Presbyterianism in Crossgar. It's an honour to be here. It's my first time here. Hopefully it'll not be my last. But it's great to be here. I have to say the singing has been wonderful tonight. Rebecca and, of course, the young boys and Johnny. What a real joy to see three young lads and, of course, Johnny accompany them stand up and sing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And some young lads would back away from that, but I can assure you it was very, very much enjoyed from us all sitting listening to you. But I'm just here to give a word of testimony tonight and just to share with you what the Lord has done in my life and what hopefully he has planned for me in the future as well. I'm just here to share a testimony in which I have entitled simply as this: The Faith as a Boy Brought Grace as a Man. And just before I do that, I want you to turn with me just to set the context of what I'm going to speak about tonight, and particularly in my testimony. I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy 3 verses 15 to 17. Just a few passages of scripture that I always recite when I'm given a word of testimony. So the first one is 2 Timothy 3 verses 15 to 17, and just with your Bibles open, if you just bear with me, and we'll just ask the Lord to give us the much needed help tonight. If you just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to present your word tonight. We thank you, Lord, that indeed we have a testimony to give. We thank you for each one that is in the meeting tonight that has a testimony. But Lord, we pray for perhaps the one tonight that is still outside of the kingdom of God. And Lord, we're asking you tonight to come in great power tonight. We're asking you to come and presence yourself with us tonight as we just plead, even with the sinner tonight, Lord, of your great mercy and that atoning sacrifice that was once for all at Calvary. Lord, just come into the meeting tonight. Hide me behind the cross. Lord, we want to uplift you high tonight. We want to glorify you tonight. And Lord, we're just asking that you would indeed come and convict and convince the sinner, restore the backslider, and uplift and edify your church. We pray, Lord, that even the words and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. Lord, and just as the believers are praying tonight, that you would be with us. We thank you for this church and this corner of your vineyard. We thank you, Lord, that has been faithful to the cross. And we pray, Lord, that even the best days of this church will be ahead of it. Be with us now. In your name we pray. Amen. So 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 to 17, it says this: And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Ephesians 2 and verse 4 and 5 says this, and just for the sake of time, I'll read it to you. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. I just want to speak tonight about my but God moment. And I had a but God moment. And could I just say from the outset tonight, everybody in this meeting will have a but God moment. Just to give a little background and by way of introduction, My name is Paul Elliott, as Johnny has already announced. I'm from Armagh. I attend Armagh Free Presbyterian Church from a child. I'm married to Lisa. I have two girls, Amy and Jessica, and I have little Sam, who is not with me tonight. Amy and Jessica are here to support me tonight and then criticise me on the way home. That's what happens normally. They'll say, the first thing they said, "Dad, you spoke too long." And then the next thing they said, "Dad, you look very small behind that pulpit." And then that's why high heels are banned in our house, because they all dwarf me big time. But it's great to have Lisa and the girls with me. I'm the son of Trevor and Josephine. I'm brother to Deborah. I'm a twin brother of Gary and an older brother to Jonathan and Stephen. And can I say just from the very outset that I don't stand here on my own merits. I couldn't, because I would fall well short of God's standard. I couldn't emphasise that enough. I'm just simply a sinner that is saved by grace. You know, it's a battle every day as a Christian, as everybody could testify tonight, and especially for young people growing up in the Christian faith. It is a difficult, difficult time for young people growing up. I'm not standing here because I'm any better than you. It's because of my personal faith and my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. And my testimony tonight is simply that God is glorified and that sinners are spoken to. You know, as a young boy, as I said, and this verse means a lot to me, Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which started a good work in you will be able to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Because I can tell you tonight that if it was up to Paul Elliott, I would not be standing here. I couldn't do it on my own strength. It's only because of the work that God and the Lord Jesus Christ has instilled in me as a young boy. You know, sometimes we think we're great. Sometimes we think we're the best thing since sliced bread. But God says this in his word, 2 Corinthians 3 verses 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And I can stand here and testify that tonight. I had the great privilege of being brought up in a Christian home, and what a privilege it was. Something that perhaps that I didn't treasure when I was growing up, but something that I do really hold close to my heart now. And perhaps you're in the meeting tonight and you've been brought up in similar circumstances in a Christian home and you think nothing of it. But there's many, many young people that are being brought up in ungodly homes where the Bible is not even looked at, no church attended, and they've no knowledge whatsoever. Imagine in Northern Ireland, there's places in Northern Ireland where young people don't even know anything about God's salvation. I, as I say, attended Armagh Free Presbyterian Church along with lots of other Sunday schools, lots of children's meetings, Bible camps, singing groups, and again, perhaps that's the way that you've been brought up. I learned a very, very handy knack as a young boy, 6 and 7 and 8 years of age, of reciting scripture. I was sent along faithfully to those little meetings, and I loved going because you simply recited a chapter of the Bible and they gave you money for doing it, and then you give you sweets when you went out through the door. So that enticed me to go back, and of course then I developed a sweet tooth. But back then the Lord was planting his word in my heart. It says to hide the word of God in your heart that you might not sin against him. I had a great privilege of being in the boys' brigade, and I was taught there faithfully the advancement of Christ's kingdom amongst boys. I learned that the Bible was true, and I don't have to stand here and tell you tonight that there's many that don't believe it and don't believe that the Bible is true. They want to dismiss the philosophy of creation. They want to dismiss everything to do with God's word. But I was taught faithfully that You can't just simply pick the bits out of the Bible that you like and airbrush the bits that you don't like. And I was taught faithfully by the followers of God that we have a soul that lives forever. And because of Adam's sin, way, way back in the Garden of Eden, because of Adam's sin, that we would be cut off and separated from God. Do you know that tonight? I'm sure you do. But perhaps if you don't, because of Adam's sin, we will never enter God's heaven because of the sin of Adam. Only if we're saved will we enter that great kingdom of God. So it says in Romans 5 verse 12, and I like just to back up what I'm saying from God's word. And it says this, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Everybody has sinned. We were born in sin. But the good news is, I was also taught as a young boy that Jesus was a substitute for my sin when he died on the cross. I was taught as a child that there was a heaven, but more importantly, that there was a hell, and a hell that was real. And maybe you're in the meeting tonight and you dismiss that philosophy of hell and you say to yourself, God is a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath. But I was taught faithfully, even in those young, in those little youth meetings and Bible clubs, that God clearly states that there is a hell. I was instructed clearly that it states in Revelation 21, and there shall in no wise enter into it, this is heaven, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Is your name in the book tonight? Can you safely say tonight that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life? I trust and pray that it is. So having learned all that and been faithfully taught that, as a child, age 7, I asked Jesus to forgive my sin. And even at such a young age, I felt God was preparing me for the future. Obviously, a future in this world and an eternal future in heaven. And why I say that, one major event at age 11 left an indelible mark on my life and a massive void and shaped me as a person. And I want to give you the context of this just so it brings it a wee bit closer to the today and more relative. On the 22nd of May 2013, soldier and drummer Lee Rigby was murdered in cold blood, an attack that was motivated by religious extremism. I don't have to stand tonight and tell you about the rise in religious extremism throughout the world. On the 13th of April 1983, over 35 years ago, my father, who was a sergeant and drummer with the Royal Irish Rangers, was murdered in Katy Main Street by terrorists, an attack motivated by religious extremism. One minute we were out playing with my brothers and my sisters, or my brother and sister, and the next thing we were being called into the house, or a neighbour's house. It was actually Pastor Karen Duff from the Elam who lived beside us, and he called us into the house, and he had broken the news to us that my father had become the latest victim in the Troubles. So even as a young boy, and this is a type of upbringing that I had encountered as a young boy, I was well aware of the Troubles in Northern Ireland. I knew that some of my father's friends and colleagues had also been murdered. I remember the phone calls to the house late at night. And back in 1983, in the early 80s, when the phone rang at night, you knew there was something wrong. It's not like today's society where everybody has a mobile phone. When the house phone rang so late at night, you knew that there was something wrong. And that was the case that night. My father had lost a colleague again. He had been murdered in the Troubles. And just if I go back to that little verse in Ephesians when I talked about but God, and that was my but God moment. 100% definitive about that. That was my but God moment. But as I said earlier, at age 7, 4 years earlier, there was a but God moment in my life, and that's when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Saviour, preparing the way for me even to cope with such a tragedy. You know, there were so many things in Armagh City, and growing up in around Armagh City and the border areas, it was a hotbed of terrorism, and just day after day you heard the news coming through of tragedies and young men and women losing their lives in the Troubles. I remember sitting in primary school and the windows having to be swung open because there was a bomb warning in Armagh. I remember incidents in Armagh City where policemen were blew up. I remember even the Darkley atrocity, and I remember it vividly because I went to school with the victims' children. They were in my class of school. I remember particularly as I was attending a Saturday night outreach meeting in one of the local churches in Armagh, of how one of my best friend's father was murdered in a filling station. The unfortunate thing for that young man or that child at that time was it happened right in front of his own eyes. So it was a very, very traumatic time in the lives, even in our school. So many young boys and girls left without a mother or a father. And, you know, even to this day, in my own congregation and church, I can look at, you know, certain individuals who have lost their father. A girl who is a Sunday school teacher lost her father. That particular young lad that lost his father in the filling station. Even, you know, some of our ministers, and I remember a particular incident in Armagh where they brought a particular bandsman up to the top of the hill, and he is now a minister in our own denomination, and made him play. And how he got out of that particular incident is beyond me, but I remember it. So that just gives you the context of what I was being brought up in. And, you know, I was just a typical young lad running about. We lived in, you know, a housing estate that was predominantly a Protestant, and then there was a neighbouring Catholic housing estate, and now and again we dared to venture into opposing territory. Not for any good, I have to say, and I'll not bear too much on that. But, you know, I was just a young lad that was growing up in the Troubles, and as I say, you know, I remember very vividly the day my father was taken. I was just aged 11. My father was just 38, and I remember him being at the church the Sunday before, and then the following week he was going through the church door in a coffin. Very hard to watch as an 11-year-old boy. I remember the Union Jack draped on the coffin, his hat and belt on top, the gun salute and the piper's lament, and the graveside. I remember Dr. Paisley coming to our house. And, you know, I remember all the pomp and ceremony at the graveside watching my father. And I have to say unashamedly that I cried. I hadn't cried up until that time because I wanted to be strong. I was the oldest boy in the house. I wanted to be strong for my family and for my mother. But I grew up very hard. And you'd ask yourself, how does a young boy cope? But it was because of the but God moment at age 7 that I coped. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I can say and testify and endorse this in Romans 5 verse 20. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. What a way to go for my father. See, my father was a great example in life as a Christian. A great example in prayer. On the day that he passed away, he was at the early morning prayer meeting in our church, 6:30 a.m. You'd ask yourself, why was he there? He was praying for his family. So he was a great example in life to me, but he was a great example in death. And I can say that it was absent from the body and present with the Lord. He was ready to go. And that poses the question tonight. Are you ready to go? If such a tragedy was to happen to you, not particularly those circumstances, but suddenly, would you be ready to go? Vitally important. Put anything else out of your head tonight. The most important thing in your life is whether you have God's salvation and that your soul is saved eternally. You know, I was an angry and bitter little boy. In my late teens, I knew there were avenues I could have went down seeking justice for what happened. I knew there were groups that I'd identified exactly with how I was feeling inside. I was so close to joining those groups. You know what they said to me? They said to me, Paul, you can avenge your father's murder. You can do this, you can do that, and you can do the other. But thank God, he kept me from it. And you know, Proverbs 22 verse 6 says that train a child in the way that he must go and he'll never depart from it. And that just is a wee challenge to all our youth leaders tonight. Sometimes we get involved in youth work and we possibly think that we're doing no good. We possibly think that what we're saying is falling on deaf ears, that they're not listening. And then you hold a quiz and when there's sweets on the go, they know all the answers, of course. But it is a little lesson to us to keep, you know, training our young people up in the things of God. I thank God that he kept me from that dark path. I knew that it was wrong to go down and take the law into my own hands. You know, Romans 12 verse 19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It was a battle. And we're talking about training our young people. Just like when Carl Frampton goes out to fight in the boxing ring. He can't do that without training. He has to train hard in order to fight and put up a good fight. And that's simply like the Christian. And our youth workers, we have to train the young people and show them the right way. And then ask the Lord and pray for them and pray that they will recognize that they need the Savior. You know, God said that he would avenge. He promised me that he would avenge what happened to my father. You know, and he gave me this verse, Isaiah 54 verse 17, says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I believe my father was a servant of the Lord, a good Christian man. And I can tell you now, those that lifted up that weapon against him has not prospered. I'm sure of that tonight. And I don't wish to take glory in that, but the Lord is no man's debtor. What a promise and what a heritage that God is on your side. And you know really what he wants us to do? He wants us to trust him completely. And I've learned to trust in God's promises, and I hope that you do that as well. From a young age, I had a lot of responsibility in the home. I felt as the eldest boy that it was my duty as the oldest son to help my mother as much as possible. At age 11, I was going shopping, helping my mother. I was teased at school because I was seen doing the family shop on a weekly basis. And not only that, they did laugh at my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. But I didn't really care about that. All I cared was obviously my family, and I cared most of all that I would have that great assurance that I would see my Father in heaven again. And that was the thing that I was holding on to as a young boy. And you know, sometimes you have that question, tragedies, why did they happen? Why do the good die young and sometimes evil is rewarded with long life? And again, God gave me, asked a question that I had. And again, God gave me the answer to it in Matthew 10, verses 28. And it says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to kill and destroy both soul and body in hell." See, God's long suffering. That's why some people are given a long span in this world, because God's not finished with them. He keeps calling and calling until someday they'll surrender and give their life to him. And I have to believe in the sovereignty of God. When I first gave my testimony, I found it difficult to understand why the Lord had taken my father. But you know, as time has gone on, I have realized that sometimes our family members have to be sacrificed. Sometimes tragedies have to happen in our lives. You know, when God just knocks that little bit louder to get through to people. And it's like a mobile phone. It can ring and ring and ring, and we can turn it to silent, and we can turn it off. And that's what people do with God. They put God to the back of their mind. And sometimes the tragedies happen because God wants you to depend on him. But I thank the Lord that my father was saved and was a saved man. I did mention that I had that opportunity to go to particular groups that were in my ear on a daily basis. But God took me down another route, and I'll just explain. I'm involved in the band movement in Northern Ireland. I'd be known right across Northern Ireland as a bandsman, and sometimes that's frowned upon, but God used that to refocus my life. I joined a band after my father's death called Drum Derg. Of course, Brother Fred Greenfield has been down on many occasions and helped us fundraise down in that part of the country with gospel concerts and one thing or another. The Lord knew that I had a passion for marching bands. My father was a bandsman. My great-grandfather, it's in the blood. Even though I've tried to put it to one side, it just keeps coming back and back. And the Lord basically endorsed that for me after some perplexing times and whether I should be still involved in it or not. And it's just like somebody that races motorbikes, you just can't get rid of it. But the band has been a real blessing to me, where I have had the influence of many, an influence on many young men and women, and I have to say some great friends right through my entire membership of Drum Derg Band, spanning bass well past 30 years. You know, I ask God, even, you know, a number of years ago when I started to give my testimony in churches, to endorse my membership of the band. And I was reading one day in my daily readings, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20, and says, "Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he is called." And I said, hallelujah, that's been the band forever. I thought this was great. And I says, well, I tell you what, God, I want you to do it again, because I'm not sure. So went on down to verse 24, not 10 seconds later, and it says, verse 24, brethren, let every man wherein he is called learn and abide with God. Now, that struck me. Now, I've talked about but God, but now he was telling me with God. And I can only endorse that tonight to the young people that are involved in, you know, movements such as this. Whatever you do, do it with the Lord. And don't be ashamed to do it. Because I can tell you now, see, if you stand up for God in those movements, he'll reward you for it. And he'll use you. And thank God that he has used me. So he'd asked me to do it with God. And thank God that I have been an influence in my own band. I believe that my life has been read, thankfully, and only by the strength of the Lord, people were seeing a difference. I had many Christians that had joined in the ranks of Drumdirk Band. I had many other Christians that had a great support for the band. And I believe it is our culture and tradition. However, it's not the most important thing. Salvation is the most important thing, and God shifted that priority in my life. You know, our forefathers cried for God in Ulster, and it was God first and country second. Unfortunately, it's the other way about now. If even Ulster first and then God, way down the list. And you know, I wanted to use that experience and that little swain for God and my band. And thankfully, there's still as many Christians involved in the band. Music has been my passion. And on the 30th anniversary of my father's passing, we unveiled the Lambeg drum in his memory. And we had the Rev McMillan up at one of the local halls, and he dedicated the drum. We invited all our family and friends to a gospel message. And the gospel was proclaimed. And lo and behold, what happened? The Lord used my father's testimony, and some of my family members were saved. See, God has a purpose. And you have to be a light wherever you can go. You have to be that little light in a dark place. And thank God he's using me in that way. I'm not perfect. I don't claim to be. You know, at a time in my life, I was living a double life from the point of view where I was outwardly a great Christian wee boy and then not so great. And that's just a message tonight to perhaps a young person. Do you have the persona tonight of a great Christian and then privately you're not? You know, and I'd ask the Lord to help you with that. And you know, pray tonight that that would not be the case. God wants young people. See, in these movements that we're involved in, he wants young people to stand up for him and to take the lead. He's looking leaders. He's looking leaders to lead others. In even the band world, wherever you be, in school, in college, he wants you to stand. He wants you to be a leader. And I pray that many young people will take that little challenge upon their heart. You know, God has done great things in my life, and just as a finish, he gave me a great family, a very understanding wife. As bandmaster of the band, obviously time is dedicated to that, and she's very understanding with that. He has granted me household salvation. Now, I don't underestimate that whatsoever. What a great thing to put your head on the pillow each night knowing that your family is safe and saved. You know, God never gave up on me. He never forsook me. He comforted me at my lowest ebb. You know, God says in his word, blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. And I can 100% back that up tonight. God surrounded me with many Christian friends, and I thank God for the Christian influences in my life. Young person tonight, See, if you're worrying about friends and perhaps you're afraid of living your Christian life out in front of the friends, don't hold back. God will provide you with the friends that you need in your life. If you pray for new friendships, pray for the friends that you have, but God will give you friends. But don't hold back. God will provide you with good friends. God says, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. You know, and I just want to just leave a challenge tonight, maybe to somebody in the meeting tonight that hasn't accepted the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. You know, perhaps you're like me. Has somebody's death spoken to you? Maybe recently, maybe years ago. Perhaps tonight there's somebody in heaven belonging to you. Can you say tonight that you'll be reunited with them? Young person in the meeting tonight, are you in the meeting breaking your mum and dad's heart because of your indifference to God? Husband or wife, are you breaking somebody's heart tonight because you have no time for God? I plead with you tonight, don't reject God's offer of mercy. He died for you. He can take your sin away. The Christian life is not an easy life, but it's the best life. And I can recommend that tonight. Don't rely on Christian parents. Because your parents go to... because your parents perhaps are saved or are Christian, that doesn't mean that you get to heaven. It's a personal thing. You know, the Lord knows how difficult it is for a young person to live. Didn't he live most of his life as a young... In fact, he did. He lived most of his life in this earth as a young person. And then he went to glory. So he can totally identify with how you're feeling. You know, going to church, religion, tradition, and I have hinted a bit on that tonight, they're all fine in their place. Good works, that'll not get you to heaven. And I just plead with you tonight. Is God speaking to you? What will you do with Jesus tonight? Will you accept him as Lord and Saviour, or will you just walk out the door like you normally do and just say, that salvation is not for me? I can only warn you that your soul's in danger. It says, my spirit will not always strive with man. You could be rejecting him for the last time. I trust just these things, and remember this, and I speak as a bondsman. In life as a bondsman, we always like to be first best. In life in general, we always want to be the best. But you know what really strikes me, friends, tonight, that there's so many people want to do their best in this life and get life's best. But when it comes to eternity, they settle for second. First best is only heaven. I'm starting a new band in heaven tonight. Will you join it? You know, we want to just simply lay the Lord Jesus Christ out and what he done on Calvary right in front of you tonight. And all we're asking you to do is to trust in him. Do you feel the weight of your sin tonight? The Lord can deal with it. You know, I just want to leave this thought with you as I finish. I had the great privilege of doing many things with the band. I was over at the battlefields twice in Belgium and France. We had the great honour of playing for royalty, where I personally met the future King of England. And what a great privilege that was, but it wasn't as big a privilege as I had when I met the King of Kings. The King of Kings, 8-7. That was the greatest privilege of my life, when I met with the King of Kings. You know, you often hear that little song sang, and by this I finish. That little song sang about the green fields of France, and a lot of our bands played as well. I can see by your gravestone you were only 19 when you joined the great fallen in 1916. Well, I hope you died well, and I hope you died clean. Young Willie McBride was a slow and obscene. Could I say it tonight, there's nothing more important in the life of anybody than to die well. It says not, I hope you died well. There's nothing more important than put everything else to the back of your head tonight. The most important thing in your life is that you are prepared and that you die well. And you know, a wee lesson as well to the saved and the believers. I hope you die clean. Are you living your life for the Lord? Are you living a good, upright, clean life that when others see you, they can see Christ in you? I hope that is the case. I just pray tonight that you'll just take these few thoughts and the testimony. I don't want you to go home talking about the testimony of Paul Elliott. I want you to be going home talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done on Calvary. That's simply tonight. The faith as a boy brought grace as a man. Amen.
I'd like to thank our brother for that word of testimony tonight, and it's good to be able to know that